Chapter 4. How can educators support playful learning in the classroom? So far, you've heard about why a pedagogy of play is needed and what playful learning in schools looks and feels like in different cultural contexts. We imagine you are now wondering how you might support playful learning in the classroom. Or, more precisely, following the insight of Laura Smalaguzzi, founder of Reggio Emilia Italy Preschools, that the aim of teaching is not to produce learning, but to produce the conditions for learning. How might you go about creating the conditions for playful learning to thrive in your classroom? In the picture of practice investigating policing, Codman Academy high school teacher Blair Barron uses a range of teaching practices to support her humanities students' playful learning during a 2-month unit on policing in the U.S. In the picture of practice investigating policing, Codman Academy high school teacher Blair Barron uses a range of teaching practices to support her humanities students' playful learning during a 2-month unit on policing in the United States. She empowers students to lead their own learning by investigating a compelling topic about justice and injustice, asking them to identify issues of particular interest, and facilitating discussions about their roles as agents of change. She builds a collaborative learning culture by introducing discussion norms, sentence starters for how to agree and disagree, and by facilitating small group text-based discussions. Blair also welcomes the emotions her students experience by accepting the tensions emerging in a discussion, encouraging students to disagree respectfully, and pausing for students to reflect in writing. This chapter highlights these and other core practices and strategies for promoting a playful learning culture in your classroom. We identify 5 key practices to support playful learning in the classroom. Each practice includes several strategies, different ways to enact the practice, many of which overlap. For an overview, see Table 4.1 on page 67 in the book. We reference the pictures of practice found throughout the book and share classroom examples from other teachers in the schools we worked with. We conclude with a note describing the role of documentation in making learning visible and shaping the learning that takes place. All of these practices have a role in setting up the conditions that allow students to lead learning, explore the unknown, and find joy in learning. Refer to Table 4.2 to determine which tools in the POP toolbox can help you with each of these practices. You can find it on page 85 in the book. The practices are the result of our qualitative research carried out with educators around the globe. We also draw on some of the close cousin pedagogies named in the introduction, especially inquiry and project-based learning and active learning. The practices and strategies are also informed by Vivian Paley's storytelling, story-acting approach and related Project Zero research projects such as Inspiring Agents of Change and Making Learning Visible. Additionally, conversations with experienced teachers, teacher educators, and our own teaching experiences help shape the strategies. We make no claim that we invented these practices and strategies, but rather are combining ideas with findings from our research to highlight ways to create the conditions for playful learning. For more information about our methodology, see Appendix A. The practices and strategies generally apply across age ranges and areas of knowledge. We invite you to adapt them for your own settings. See the Pedagogy of Play tool Playful Learning Planner to help plan playful learning experiences. Empower learners to lead their own learning. The first playful learning practice, Empower Learners to Lead Their Own Learning, tips the balance of responsibility for learning away from you and toward the learners themselves. Consider sharing responsibility for decisions about the learning space, the daily or weekly schedule, the design of curriculum units, or the types of assessments you give to students. Following the students' leads, requires flexibility and a willingness to modify and sometimes set aside teaching plans. If you are prepared for serendipity, inviting learners to help shape parts of their education can give them a sense of ownership, autonomy, and intrinsic motivation. Of course, not all learners will bring a playful mindset or desire to take responsibility for their learning. Here are three strategies you can use to encourage learners to lead their own learning. Get to know your learners, involve learners in decision-making, and reflect on learning with learners. Get to know your learners. Learning is not an abstract phenomenon. It entails making sense of the world based on prior knowledge. Learning that is connected to students' lives becomes more meaningful. Such connections are easier to make if new information can be linked to already existing frameworks. Atrium School math teacher Liz Caffrey in the United States designs lessons that draw on her students' experiences and connect them to the social and political world around them. On the first day of school, Liz asks her 6th, 7th, and 8th grade students to share their responses to the question, "What is math?" by posting the responses on a large white board. On the first day of school, Liz asks her 6th, 7th, and 8th grade students to share their responses to the question, "What is math?" by posting the responses on a large whiteboard. Liz also asks students to write her a letter about their lives, posing questions like, "As a math learner, how do you learn best? What do you do for fun? Tell me a math story from your life. Talk about a teacher who supported and helped you learn math." Liz draws on this information to shape her teaching. For example, she is sensitive to students' preferences for music or silence when working. Once a week, Liz leads Math News, in which she shares a current event that involves math, a graph, percentages, statistics, to teach her students how to be critical consumers of data in the world around them. Her choice of news items is informed by students' interests, from baseball to baking to bluegrass music. Understanding the strengths, knowledge, and interests students bring to the classroom also empowers them to lead their own learning because they are more likely to play an active role in the process. It can be helpful to think of these qualities as funds of knowledge that learners can contribute to the learning community. Funds of knowledge can include home languages, cultural background, family traditions or celebrations, favorite activities, or household responsibilities. An example of drawing on funds of knowledge comes from Kebiswani Shazi's class at Esekhisini Primary School in South Africa. Dakalo is a second grade student in Kebiswani's class. He is reserved and often reluctant to participate in learning experiences with his peers. When Kebiswani finds out that Dakalo's father plays the drums and is teaching Dakalo how to play, she finds a drum in the school's music room to try to engage Dakalo in learning. Kebiswani decides to use chanting and movement to review the sounds of different letters she is teaching. She asks Dakalo to play the drum while the class claps out the syllables to 6 words that begin with the letter C. To demonstrate the word calling, Kebiswani asks Dakalo to beat the drum and call to his friend Linda. She tells Dakalo to step out of the room while Linda hides under a desk. When Dakalo returns, he dashes around the room, beating the drum and calling his friend. When the lesson moves to print words, Dakalo, using the drum as a chair, gets right to work finding words that begin with C. Afterwards, Kebiswani notices Dakalo more engaged in classroom life. Here are some other ideas for getting to know your learners. Observe and listen to your learners. Talk to them about their lives and interests at lunch, on the playground, or during transition times. See Getting to Know Your Learners in the POP toolbox for suggested questions and conversation starters. create a note-taking system to help you keep track of what you learn about each student. Or ask learners to write you a letter about their lives or contact their families to learn more about the students' activities outside the classroom. Keep in mind which kinds of sharing are culturally appropriate in your context. Students also appreciate getting to know you. Young children like hearing about their teacher's family, pets, or other parts of their lives outside of school. Older students enjoy hearing about your passions, hobbies, and tales from your secondary school or university experiences. When you share a story, there is a greater chance of getting a story from your students and fostering relationships. Finally, you can survey local events, exhibitions, and civic or cultural initiatives in your community to identify possible ties to student interests and your curriculum. See Making Learning Meaningful in the POP Toolbox for additional suggestions for connecting learners to the community. Involve learners in decision-making. Engaging learners in decisions about the curriculum, assessment, and classroom environment is another way to elicit their interest and investment. Students can participate in making decisions both large, what topics to study, how to assess or demonstrate that learning has taken place, and how to arrange classroom furniture and space, and small decisions, where to sit, what words to learn, how to spell, and with whom to partner. You can think about the types of decisions and choices to turn over to students in at least three ways: the learning content or topics of study, the learning process or how the content is being learned, and the products of learning or how learners show what they know. With regard to the content of learning, learners are often able to choose a specific focus when studying topics like countries, historical figures, or artists. Blair at Codman Academy asks her students to use a graphic organizer to identify specific themes they would like to discuss that could become potential topics for their final papers. Similarly, in the picture of practice debating the nature of facts, primary school teacher Firdis Ismail Karolia asks her 10 and 11-year-old students to create a fictional species of their choosing and write an informational text about it. In facilitating a student-composed schedule, middle school teachers at the International School of Billund give learners a great deal of choice around the learning process. Students choose where to work, with whom, which academic tasks to complete when, and whether to seek help from teachers or their classmates. Involving students in shaping classroom norms and expectations increases their investment in the learning community. Finally, you can give students a choice regarding the product of learning or how to show what they know. ISB middle school teacher Tua Robinhigh used to ask his students to write and perform a play as the summative assessment for a study of the Black Plague, an experience he thought was engaging for all. When Tua decides to open up the format for students to choose, he is surprised that some students choose to write an essay and that they describe the experience as playful. The primary year's program of the International Baccalaureate culminates in a capstone project on a local or global issue in which students are actively involved in planning, presenting, and assessing their learning. Students choose the topic to study, identify the learning goals and criteria for success, and co-design strategies and tools to document and self-assess their learning with their teachers and peers. Other ideas for involving learners in decision-making include inviting learners to spend time figuring out which dimensions of a topic they are interested in studying. As long as you and your students agree on the criteria for choosing content, for example, connection to learning goals or standards, or manageability and so on, many decisions can be opened up to learners in consultation with you. Younger children can be invited to help make decisions about class rules and norms or routines, such as classroom setup, lineup procedures, and the cleanup music or routine. See involving learners in decision-making in the POP toolbox for ways to engage learners in decisions about what and how they learn. The license to hack cards in the POP toolbox give learners of any age permission to change the learning process to deepen learning or make it more meaningful. Take a risk and say yes to learners' playful ideas in unexpected contexts. See the Say Yes to the Mess tool for considerations when responding to learners' suggestions. Reflect on learning with learners. Learning, and playful learning in particular, is not a linear process. Playful learning is full of serendipity and surprises, making it a particularly apt occasion for reflection. To learn through play, learners need to reflect on their learning. The reflection can take many forms. It can be formal or informal. It can take place before, during, or after the learning experience. It can be completed individually or with others. And it can be carried out in different media, such as writing, drawing, video, audio recording, or acting. However, the most important question is why you are asking students to reflect in the first place. What kind and whose learning do you want to support by asking students to reflect? Do you want students to consolidate or extend their subject matter knowledge or skills? Do you want them to understand themselves better as individual and group learners? Or do you want feedback on the learning experience? Since John Dewey's first publication on reflection in the early 20th century, a large body of research has underlined the key role of reflection in learning. Yet the term reflection has been interpreted in many ways. For our purposes, we define reflection in schools as thoughts or questions that result from thinking critically about a learning experience to strengthen current or inform future learning. When learners take the time to reflect on playful learning experiences, it makes their thinking visible to themselves and others. This can deepen learners' understanding of concepts and content and strengthen their understanding of how to learn. They can reflect on their feelings as well. This allows learners to play a bigger role in the learning process. Another goal of engaging students in reflection is to create a classroom culture of playful learning where students and teachers enjoy thinking about thinking, or metacognition, where ideas come from, and how they change. Recall the Spider-Man debate about whether facts must be true in Firdaus's classroom, or the informal exchanges between students during facilitating a student-composed schedule at ISB. At the beginning of a unit on the Middle Ages, ISB social studies teacher Will Hennebry asks students to post notes on the wall about 1, the most important thing they think they know about the Middle Ages, 2, what they are unsure about, and 3, what they are interested in learning more about. Will leaves the notes on the wall as a reference point throughout the unit, and students continue to add their thoughts on new notes. Here are some other ideas for supporting reflection. Do not underestimate the challenge of coming up with a good reflection question. Word choice matters. Keep in mind the distinction between asking learners what they did or liked versus what they learned or discovered. There is a difference between reflecting on playful learning and making the reflection process itself playful. In making the reflection process playful, because what is playful for one is not always playful for another, it is helpful to give learners a choice of reflection format. Different formats for reflection include written notes or post-its, tweets, audio recordings, peer interviews, and a deck of cards with different options. If the reflection is nonverbal, ask for a verbal or written artist statement to supplement the response. Invite learners to compose reflections together. Share them with each other, invent humorous or playful wording as reflection prompts, for example, sneak peek, tickle your brain, brain buddy, or use role play or pretense. Too much reflection can become tedious. Only ask for as much reflection as you or your learners have time to revisit. Try limiting the length of students' reflection responses, either in writing or verbally. For example, by limiting the number of words or sentences. This can encourage learners to consolidate their thinking, lighten the reflection request, and leave room for other voices in large group conversations. Consider sharing your own reflection as a teacher about what you are learning about student learning. See the Playful Learning Reflection Planner in the POP Toolbox for other suggestions. Build a culture of collaborative learning. The second practice for supporting playful learning is build a culture of collaborative learning. The psychologist Lev Vygotsky explained how learning is fundamentally a social process. Children and adults learn from and with others by encountering new perspectives and ways of thinking, which supports both individual and group learning. Small groups in particular foster deeper learning. The social component of learning appears throughout the playful learning indicators from Denmark, South Africa, the United States, and Colombia. In the model developed in South African schools, the social dimension was so powerful that all three indicators of ownership, curiosity, and enjoyment include the concept of Ubuntu, or I am through others. Playful learning is enhanced when players exchange, build on, or disagree with each other's ideas. However, many children do not see themselves as actually learning when they are in a group. Rather, they often think learning occurs when a teacher or textbook provides or confirms the right answer. Documenting the learning process, which we describe at the end of this chapter, is one way to make the learning that takes place in a group visible. You can build a culture of collaborative learning in your classroom by using the following strategies. Use play to build relationships, facilitate purposeful conversations to build knowledge, and foster a culture of feedback. Use play to build relationships. Playful learning helps learners learn academic content and concepts as they develop meaningful relationships with peers. Relationship building does not just happen during recess or free choice time. It also happens while learning the curriculum. When forming small groups, consider which learners have strengths and interests that are most likely to complement and support the learning of others. Be prepared for conflict to arise, but if there is no safety issue, wait before intervening to see whether learners can work it out for themselves. Remember to occasionally become a player and ask learners if it is okay to join in their play and what role they would like you to play. Look for ways to connect learners to each other. In the picture of practice, More Than One Way to Tell a Story, you'll hear about an early childhood class in the U.S. where children take turns sharing stories and then acting them out. When her teacher, Jody Krause, invites Maddie to tell her story, Maddie's friend Pat is eager to join in. Jody responds by asking Maddie, "Do you want her to listen? She might have some good ideas." Maddie agrees. Later, when the class is acting out a story, Alice is unsure how to be a dog. Jody invites the rest of the class to be a dog for a sec to help her out. Several children immediately begin acting like a dog, giving Alice the examples she needs to proceed. Here are some other ideas for connecting learners to each other. Review the individual learning experiences you typically offer to determine whether reframing them as collaborative might deepen or extend the quality of learning. For example, if children are playing in the block area, ask them how they might connect one structure to another. When posing a thought question to the class, ask students to turn and talk before responding. If you ask students to write individual responses to a question, take time afterward for students to review the responses as a group to identify themes or patterns. The expert books in the POP toolbox suggests creating a class book in which each learner creates a page of something they do well and something they are still learning. See Partner Explore from the Inspiring Agents of Change Collaboration or a way to help children develop relationships with children they might not otherwise get to know. Facilitate purposeful conversations to build knowledge. In playful and collaborative learning spaces, individuals work together to build knowledge as a group. This requires time for small group work, individual thinking, and purposeful whole group discussion. In conversations such as Blair's students' discussion of policing practices at Codman Academy, learners set goals, imagine, ask questions, and work through challenges. At Nova Pioneer Ormond, Firdous wants her grade 5 students to understand how to read and write informational texts, develop their critical and creative thinking skills, and enjoy the learning process. To relaunch a previous conversation about informational texts, rather than provide a definition herself, Firdous asks students to share their current definitions in small groups and then with the whole class. A passionate debate ensues when one student claims that even though Spider-Man is fictional, it is a fact that he can spin webs from his wrists. The conversation about the relationship between fact and fiction continues over the next few weeks as new questions arise, ultimately extending to children's families. The children are highly motivated to apply their critical and creative thinking to a compelling subject, the nature of facts. At Essa Cassini Primary School, Namba Futi invites small groups of her fourth graders to go outside to find a plant to study and then describe to one another. Then she asks students to discuss what they notice and identify similarities and differences across plants. Only at this point does Namba Futi ask each student to make a careful observational drawing on their own. At the end of the lesson, students make presentations to share their learning with the whole class. The plant study both begins and ends with students building and sharing knowledge with others. Here are some other resources for facilitating purposeful conversation. The Project Zero Thinking Routines Toolbox and School Reform Initiative websites offer a wealth of thinking routines and discussion protocols for guiding conversations that promote this kind of collective knowledge building. Selecting a thinking routine in the POP toolbox can help you choose a thinking routine to support learners when they are exploring, synthesizing, or digging deeper into ideas. For younger children, see Snapping Ideas Together from the Inspiring Agents of Change collaboration for a way to help children problem solve on their own with little adult guidance. Foster a culture of feedback. Giving and receiving feedback from peers and adults about work in progress is a particular kind of purposeful conversation that can be invaluable to supporting a culture of collaborative learning. Yet, exchanging feedback can also feel scary. Creating group norms and using discussion protocols or routines to look at student work can help learners feel comfortable sharing emerging ideas. Group norms facilitate children and teachers learning from and with each other by providing shared expectations for interactions and conversations. Norms like, it is okay to disagree, and you don't have to follow the advice, can increase learners' acceptance of different perspectives while remaining open to critique. Educator Ron Berger uses three simple but powerful norms: be kind, be specific, and be helpful. Peer-to-peer teaching, or inviting learners to be a teacher for the day or part of a day, also supports students in learning from each other. In her English classes at Colegio Unidad Pedagógica in Colombia, Catalina Cortez invites students to give each other feedback by asking them to be the first to respond to what their classmates have shared, followed by her own responses. Other tips for fostering a culture of feedback include: see the ladder of feedback for a simple yet powerful structure that moves learners through four steps of the feedback process: clarify, value, share concerns, and suggest. Share the protocol with presenters beforehand and ask for specific questions they would like feedback on. Take notes of the feedback so presenters can have a record of what was shared. Ask students to facilitate the feedback sessions themselves. Invite students to role play a group of authors, artists, or scientists giving feedback to colleagues. Share stories from other classes or from your own experience about times when feedback proved especially useful. Promote experimentation and risk-taking. The third practice for supporting playful learning is promote experimentation and risk-taking. Experimentation, invention, and discovery become possible when learners are invited to find their own path to learning goals. Evolutionary biologists believe that play evolved in part to provide a safe way to try out new behaviors and ideas. Schools exist in part to provide a safe place for children to experiment with materials and ideas, make mistakes, try new things, and work through disagreements or frustration. Fostering a culture of experimentation helps children develop critical and creative thinking skills, giving them opportunities to see experimentation and risk-taking as important parts of the learning process. Two strategies promote a culture of experimentation: engage learners in open-ended investigations, and encourage risk-taking as fundamental to the learning process. Design open-ended investigations. Engaging students in open-ended investigations, for which there is no correct answer, opens the door to playing with ideas and making unexpected discoveries and connections. Not knowing exactly how things are going to turn out helps learners become comfortable with the unknown. When learners approach learning experiences with a playful mindset, they discover that experimenting, taking risks, and learning from mistakes are key components of learning. In the picture of practice Playful Learning Online, you will hear how Colegio El Nogal teacher Karen Beltran invites the kindergartners in her online class to experiment with light and shadow using any materials they can find. The children, supported by family members, relish their time to experiment freely without a preset goal. In a different lesson, Nambafuti Chilawane, one of the teachers in Exploring Soil Types and Plants, moves beyond a textbook activity on frame structures, or structures with a combination of beams, columns, and slabs that can resist lateral and gravity loads, to create an open-ended investigation for her 11-year-old or grade 5 learners. While the textbook has a prescribed task of having each student make and strength test a triangle and two other shapes using struts that they make out of paper, Nambafuti gives her class of 40 a variety of materials and challenges them to make any structure they want, as long as it is strong. Almost all the children choose to work in small groups, with some groups collaborating and some competing to make the strongest structure. The students produce a range of structures, from windmills to the human skeleton, using different methods for achieving stability. Afterward, the children reflect on which structures were more or less stable and why. Here are some other tips for engaging learners in open-ended investigations. Try designing learning experiences that offer multiple pathways for which neither you nor your students know the outcome. Seek out materials that inspire experimentation, for example, balls and ramps, light and shadow, or color mixing, and pose questions that lead to sustained inquiry. Note that open-ended does not mean no guidance or support. Providing tools or structures like a checklist or an outline of a master plan can help children take charge and self-direct. The Planning for Invention student worksheet from the Inspiring Agents of Change project suggests a sequence of questions to pose when learners are ready to take on an independent project. Many websites, such as Tech Interactive, offer a wide variety of design challenges and lesson plans. Selecting and facilitating a design challenge in the POP toolbox provides guidance for choosing and facilitating a design challenge that supports learning content, collaboration, and creative problem solving. Encourage risk-taking as a strategy for learning. Learning is an iterative process. No one learns without making mistakes, especially when trying something new. All risks have potential adverse outcomes and thus require a bit of courage from the risk taker. However, the experience of wrestling with a challenging idea or task is an especially powerful way to learn. Learning through play gives learners a low-stakes way to take risks, make mistakes, and learn from them. You might tell students that you expect to see them making mistakes and taking risks, especially when encountering new situations. Many of the practices and strategies for supporting learning through play require some degree of experimentation and risk-taking on your part. For example, designing new lessons, inviting children to co-construct rules, or letting learners lead their learning without a predetermined outcome. In addition to offering open-ended investigations, you can normalize risk-taking, making mistakes, and failing forward, or learning from what went wrong, by making them visible to learners and celebrating them as opportunities to learn, iterate, and try again. In the picture of practice, Too Many Rules on the Playground, you will hear that when teachers give kindergartners the freedom to play in the playground with just two rules to follow, the children demonstrate their capability to take considered risks. They do not do anything they do not usually do on the playground, some of which was previously considered breaking a rule, like riding a bicycle in a restricted area. In addition, the children invent their own safety rules, seeking adult input as needed. The older kindergartners look after the younger one. Some of the quieter children become more interactive. Over the course of the week, there are no injuries or damage to materials or the grounds. Perhaps the children have a better sense of safety considerations than the adults had given them credit for. In any event, trusting children to make wise choices with teachers nearby leads to a new sense of possibility for playground activity. The teachers also model risk-taking through their transparency about trying something new, conveying a powerful message that children can do the same. The teachers are explicit about their decision to take a risk, posing the question, "What happens when we have fewer rules on the playground?" They discuss the question with the children and introduce them to the idea of research. Later, the teachers share their documentation with the children and separately with colleagues and administrators to ground discussions about the experience. Here are some other tips for encouraging and celebrating risk-taking. Creating a culture of risk-taking in the POP toolbox identifies language, routines, and rituals for fostering a culture of risk-taking, such as exploring students' assumptions and associations with terms like risk and mistake, inventing playful language to describe learning from mistakes, and encouraging families to normalize experimentation and risk-taking at home. Celebrate moments when you or your students take a risk, perhaps with a special cheer, a round of applause, or a silly dance. See the "I blew it" certificate for a playful way to honor your and your students' experimentation. Encourage imaginative thinking. Encourage imaginative thinking is the fourth playful learning practice. Engaging the imagination brings learners into the what-if space of learning, where students take new perspectives, explore new ideas, and invent new creations. Give learners an opportunity to imagine, explore, and create things that are meaningful to them and to others. Below, we share four strategies to support imaginative thinking in the classroom. Share stories to engage and enhance learning. Use role play and pretend scenarios. Provide materials and experiences that engage the senses and the body. And ask questions that invite curiosity and imaginative thinking. Share stories to engage and enhance learning. Telling stories and creating narratives are a central way humans of all ages connect to, understand, and explore ideas. Across time and place, Stories provide a way to share experiences and knowledge, giving meaningful frames to our lives. Encourage learners to listen to and tell stories to explore ideas and share personal experiences. You also can tell stories of learning, for example, learning a new language, when you first needed to use algebra, or your former student who could not spell but was a good writer. These can inspire children and help them understand the process of playful learning. You can also draw on literature for rich examples of playful learning. In the picture of practice, Playful Learning Online, you will hear how Mauricio Puentes Garzón, in Bogotá, creates a story about a partridge to engage his 38 third graders in an online dance class. He invites children to flap their wings like a partridge and use their long necks for drinking water. The children also dance around the water to explore concepts of lateral movement and moving in a straight line. In More Than One Way to Tell a Story, you will hear how Jody Krause invites her 3- and 4-year-old children to tell and act out stories each day. The activity supports literacy development, the expression of ideas and feelings, and community building. The children invent stories about firefighters, birthday parties, and dogs based on their own interests and ideas from other children. Other ideas for using storytelling to support playful learning include: consider developing a larger narrative, for example, student pirates on the lookout for hidden theorems, or a group of astronauts landing on Mars, that could inspire playful learning in math or science. You might change the physical setting, for example, lighting, seating arrangements, adding a fake candle, playing soft music, or projecting an evocative image on a screen. Tell a tale that sparks learners' imagination and curiosity, such as an unexpected package left at the classroom door, or a mystery at school like Who Framed the Statistics Teacher? Or Who Kidnapped the School Mascot? Or invite a mystery guest to the classroom who needs help solving a puzzle related to the content you are teaching. Storytelling and story acting for older learners in the POP Toolbox extends the storytelling and story acting approach to older students. If you don't feel comfortable telling stories, practice telling stories to a friend, a family member, or your cat. Use role play and pretend scenarios. Role play and pretend scenarios enable learners to explore ideas and issues from different perspectives. They can engage learners of any age within or across lessons and units, often lightening the tone of assessment. Think of the third-grade partridges in Bogota and the 10- and 11-year-old plant scientists in Pretoria. In creating a restaurant, before visiting the restaurant, teachers ask students to role-play workers in different jobs to generate relevant questions. To launch a unit about the moon, ISB teachers Serena Mutu and Jason Yelland tell their 10- and 11-year-old students to pretend to prepare for a voyage to the moon. They ask parents to sign permission forms and help their children pack for the trip. When children arrive at school, Serena and Jason lead them to a spaceship built by the school caretaker. Throughout the unit, children continue the pretend journey on the playground and at home, integrating what they are learning about space into their play. ISB middle school students explore whether author William Golding is an astute observer of human nature or unduly pessimistic when he describes the effect on groups of people of removing rules in Lord of the Flies. Teacher Will Hennebry develops 2 lessons for students to carry out in the woods near the school to examine the social dynamics in the book. Will then facilitates a debate in which he gives signs with the names of the 4 main characters in the book to 4 students. And asks them to try to convince others in the class to join their group. Students can move between groups at any time. In follow-up reflections, students express surprise at the depth of their own knowledge, the degree to which their minds could be changed, that their classmates hold diverse points of view, and the contributions from students who are usually quiet. One student writes, From the discussion, I learned that even though I'm on one team and someone else is on another, I still really respect them, and even some of their statements were really hard to argue against. The discussion was really fun, and I hope we can do it sometime again. Other ideas for using roleplay and pretend scenarios include: use props, costumes, and symbols to help students get into character. Create cards with roles or scenarios that can be selected or assigned. Become a character yourself to help students get into role-playing. Do not be afraid to ham it up a bit. Document the experience so you can revisit it. Ask students to rehearse and get feedback from their peers. And help students learn about their roles by seeing the roles in action, for example, on a field trip or in a video. Provide materials and experiences that engage the senses and the body. Cardboard boxes, rocks, shells, and other found in natural materials give learners the opportunity to imagine, create, and explore. Tinkering and maker-centered learning encourage learners to explore the properties of materials and the designed world, to mess around with ideas, and to problem solve. Consider introducing new smells and sounds in the classroom. Offer tools and materials that inspire inquiry, inventiveness, and creative thinking. These might include sand, water, tempera and watercolor paints, pen and pencil, India ink, pastels, paper, charcoal, clay, wire, or loose parts. Asking students to express and communicate their thinking in different media often deepens learning. For a lesson at Esikasini in South Africa, Nombafuti takes her fifth graders outside to act out the spin and rotation of the earth around the sun so they can understand the phenomena of day and night in an embodied way. At ISB, middle school teacher Tua Rabinhai begins a unit on the rainforests by turning off the lights and playing the sounds of the rainforest as students enter the room. Karen Beltran in Colombia, teaching online, engages kindergartners in exploring light and shadow by inviting them to make their own shadows with materials they can find at home. All of these examples engage the senses and the body to make teaching and learning more vivid by drawing on materials or experiences that inspire interest, curiosity, and imagination. Other ideas include: go outside with your class to gather materials like sticks, leaves, or stones to use for free exploration or for representing ideas you are studying. Choose one material, like wire or clay, to make available over time to encourage new discoveries and explore ideas related to the curriculum. In the POP Toolbox, play kits describe how to create play kits to enhance online or in-person learning. Invite learners to use their bodies to process information. For example, if you are studying sea creatures, ask children to pretend to be fish pushing water through their gills. In the POP Toolbox, Moving to Learn provides ideas for using movement to develop skills, prompt the imagination, and build and demonstrate understanding. Ask questions that invite curiosity and imaginative thinking. Posing questions that invite imaginative and divergent thinking provokes curiosity and wonder. Open-ended questions are more likely to normalize the experience of uncertainty in life. They can be framed to suggest the possibility of imagining a different, and perhaps better, more just, humane, sustainable, or beautiful world. Questions with multiple answers, or perhaps no definitive answer at all, invite students to play with ideas and open opportunities for further learning. Think about the difference between asking a child, "What are the phases of the moon?" and "What have you noticed about the moon?" In the picture of practice, Playful Learning Online, you will hear how middle school English teacher Catalina Cortez asks her students, "What are your thoughts and feelings about the government-proposed tax policy?" When introducing a lesson on subtraction, Nuha Ismail, a second-grade teacher at Nova Pioneer Ormond in South Africa, does not ask, "If I removed seven children from our class, how many children would we have left, but rather, if I removed 7 children from our class, what would happen? When the class turns to individual work on the word problem, Caden has 24 sweets, he gives Busey 18 sweets. Rather than ask, what is the answer, or how many sweets are left, Nuha asks, what is happening in this word problem? In these examples, Nuha changes what are often closed-ended questions into more open-ended ones. A result is that playfulness among her students is active. Asked how she feels about these questions, Salarato answers, I made a mistake, and I was proud that I solved it on my own. Nuha didn't tell us how to solve the problem. She made me feel like a president because I got to make my own choice in what strategy to come up with. Developing a good question can be its own inventive process that unfolds over time. Observe learners' play, conversations, and interactions to discover what they wonder about. Invite children to share their wonders with peers. Making children's and your own questions visible in the classroom, on a wonder wall, a table, or hanging from the ceiling reminds the group to remain curious and seek meaning. In Debating the Nature of Facts, Firdaus poses the question, does a fact have to be true? Which leads to students' questions. If a fact is something that actually exists, is fear a fact? And if the definition of fact is things known to be true, what about religious beliefs that are true for some but not others? Resources from the POP Toolbox to help develop questions include Imaginative Sparks Generator, which suggests different ways to inspire imaginative thinking, and Questions Worth Playing With, which includes questions like, where do ideas come from? How do you figure out what to do when you don't know what to do? And as you play, what stories do you discover in these materials? Welcome all emotions generated through play. The fifth and final practice to support playful learning is welcome all emotions generated through play. Learning through play can involve a range of emotions, including feelings of enjoyment, satisfaction, and ownership, as well as frustration and anger. It is important to welcome and value all these emotions when designing and facilitating learning experiences. Because what is playful for one is not necessarily playful for all, providing more than one way for students to learn through play during a learning experience will likely reach more learners. Below are 3 strategies for welcoming and valuing learners' emotions. Design for joy, use play to explore complex issues, and support learners in working through frustration. Design for joy. There are many ways to design learning experiences to create feelings of excitement, belonging, pride, and joy. You can introduce novel materials, pose a puzzle or challenge, redesign the physical environment, set up a game or team competition, or invite students to do any of these. To set a playful tone, the beginning of a lesson or unit is often a good time to engage students in playful learning. Try introducing a lesson without words, putting a riddle on the wall, or setting up your classroom as a courtroom, cafe, or Greek agora. Designing joyful lessons can be particularly helpful when building skills that benefit from repetition, such as spelling, multiplication tables, or practicing an instrument. Embedding surprise or the unexpected in the classroom is an effective way to get students' attention. For example, juxtaposing a periodic table in English and Chinese in a chemistry room. In Creating a Restaurant, Tristan's presentation at the Cosmic Chicken Restaurant includes a puzzle about the mascot's name. The secret ingredient in the chicken recipe also captures the fourth grader's imagination and leads to a school-wide survey about food preferences. ISB middle school math teacher Marita Jorgensen notices that when she inadvertently leaves an algebra equation on the whiteboard, it piques the interest of the pre-algebra students in her next class. Marita capitalizes on the students' curiosity and starts leaving formulas or equations on the board from one class to the next. Students enjoy the challenge and soon ask Marita if they can be the ones to leave math mysteries on the board. Students look in math textbooks and online to find suitable material. One class even decides to write the mathematical expression on the window with a washable marker so that students outside will have to read the numbers and symbols backwards. Here are some other tips and resources to design for joy. Seeing teachers make mistakes or get things wrong can be highly motivating. Moving to Learn in the POP toolbox suggests joyful ways to use the body and movement to enhance learning. Use play to explore complex issues. Using play as a strategy to explore complex topics can lead to new insights or ways to think about issues. At the same time, you need to be sensitive to the experiences and emotions of the learners in front of you. Perhaps the most important thing you can do is provide a safe space and climate of trust for learners to share their thoughts and feelings. Stories, hands-on materials, role play, and pretend scenarios are all strategies that can engage learners in grappling with difficult issues and help them navigate conflict and disagreement. In Playful Learning Online, Catalina invites the 11 and 12-year-old students in her online class to explore an issue that is dominating the lives of Colombians. In the spring of 2021, the COVID-19 virus was raging out of control, and Colombia was experiencing mass demonstrations to protest a controversial new tax policy. 35 protesters were killed in one day. Schoolwork was not a primary concern for many students or families. Because of Colegio Unidad Pedagógica's school-wide peace initiative, one of Catalina's learning goals was to foster civil discourse. She asks 14 of her students who are struggling to learn English to create and present posters sharing their thoughts and feelings about the recent tax policy proposed by the government. She encourages students to talk to their families about the issue. In Catalina's class, students generally keep their computer camera off. However, most turn the cameras on to share their posters and participate in the discussion. While most posters are critical of the government, one student shares a poster critical of the protester. Catalina affirms the student's right to form her own opinion and ends the lesson by thanking students for developing their own perspectives and reiterating her respect for their ability to think for themselves. Catalina's students have the right to learn about and understand difficult or sensitive topics like war, poverty, or racial inequities. Doing so in a productive way requires space for them to ask questions, take risks, imagine, and feel empowered to follow up on their curiosity. Play offers a safe way to try out new behaviors and ideas. The students are unusually invested in sharing their thoughts and feelings because the topic matters to them. They look up words in the dictionary and online and use their imaginations to create images and slogans that reflect their personal beliefs. Children often integrate themes of violence or terror into their play. They will engage in play even in difficult circumstances like the Holocaust or slavery. Like the rest of us, children do or will encounter monsters, individuals who commit horrific acts. How should we respond? We can be horrified, try to ignore the monsters, make fun of them, or study them. The right dose of playfulness, while not diminishing the horror, can help learners find the courage needed to face these monsters. Other tips and resources for exploring complex issues include: use play to explore complex issues in the POP toolbox, which suggests different ways for learners to consider multiple perspectives and reimagine outcomes using the above strategies. Observe and listen for issues that come up in students' conversations or interactions, such as housing insecurity or gender equity. Consider infusing these into topics you are already teaching. One way to bring the world into the classroom is to post newspaper headlines or photographs around the room to see what questions or conversations they provoke. The New York Times in the United States has a weekly feature called "What's Going On in This Picture?" which shares intriguing images with the captions removed. Students are asked to imagine what is going on and can join a conversation online or in class. Consider starting a weekly or monthly routine. If students are hesitant to participate in conversations about difficult issues, introduce the topic in a playful way. For example, ask students to write their thoughts or questions on pieces of paper, crumple them up, and throw them around the room. Students can discuss the comments in pairs or in a larger group. Talk to colleagues about teaching difficult topics. Engage families to learn about their perspectives on these topics and to keep them informed. Be sensitive to your school's norms about when and how students learn about issues important to the community. Support learners in working through frustration. Playful learning is different from entertainment. It involves challenge, and it does not always have to be fun. People tend to work hard and push themselves when they care about what they are learning. Children will often challenge themselves in play so they can reap the rewards that come from seeing what they can do. Learning through play frequently involves negotiating ideas and materials with others, which can lead to charged emotions such as failure and frustration. Learners need support and encouragement when learning becomes difficult. Bringing a sense of curiosity helps more than judgment. The goal is not to remove the hard feelings, but to help learners stay in a productive and safe space where they can experience these emotions and still take risks to solve problems. At the Colegio Unidad Pedagógica in Colombia, at the start of the year, each primary grade classroom identifies a common topic to investigate. In creating a restaurant, half the students in the fourth grade express interest in gastronomy and half in technology. Some are also interested in art. The lack of agreement and long negotiation process triggers feelings of frustration for many students. The teachers turn this into a learning opportunity by helping students recognize the challenges inherent in any form of compromise and encouraging them to name, share, and accept their emotions. Ultimately, the students decide on restaurants, which in the students' minds incorporate elements of gastronomy, technology, and even the arts as their focus. In investigating policing, Blair uses playful learning to support her 12th grade students' inquiry into policing in the U.S., something many of them experience outside of school. The students discuss and debate their points of view using norms previously identified, leading to feelings of empowerment, connection, and confidence. Before responding to comments likely to trigger strong emotions, Blair makes sure to pause for students to listen and reflect, saying, "Okay, let's pause. I want you to disagree with each other. You've been doing so respectfully. Continue that, please. And a lot was just said, so everyone should take 2 minutes to jot down what was said." Other ways to help learners deal with frustration include: model working through frustration by naming when you feel frustrated or telling a story of someone else's frustration. Supporting learners with conflicts and frustration in the POP toolbox suggest ways to help learners who are feeling frustrated. Celebrate times when you or your students successfully met a challenge or worked through frustration, for example, by adding marbles to a jar. When the jar is full, celebrate with a special snack, taking a longer outdoor break, or playing a favorite game. The Do-Over and Making Friends with Conflict tools from the Inspiring Agents of Change project provide low-risk opportunities for younger learners to accept conflict as a natural part of life and to practice repairing relationships. The role of documentation in making playful learning visible. A key teaching practice that underlies all five of the playful learning practices is documentation. We define documentation as the practice of observing, recording, interpreting, and sharing through different media the processes and products of learning in order to deepen learning. Documenting playful learning processes and products is a way to make learning visible throughout a learning experience and at the end. Revisiting documentation of learners' thinking and learning with colleagues provides valuable insight into the next steps for supporting playful learning. Documentation serves different purposes during different stages of learning. Perhaps first and foremost, teachers use documentation to guide their teaching decisions to enhance student learning. There are many ways to document. You can document or make playful learning processes visible through video, written notes, photographs, or student work and reflection. You can also set aside a public space in the classroom for works in progress. You can engage students in documentation by giving them cameras or audio or video recorders. The most important thing to keep in mind when documenting is to focus on the learning that is taking place, not just what was done. Documentation is also an important tool for navigating the paradoxes of playful learning. As you will hear in the picture of practice, Too Many Rules on the Playground, a kindergarten study group confronts the paradox between rules and freedom by investigating the question, what happens when we have fewer rules on the playground? Children wear green freedom bracelets for 1 week while following just two rules. We take care of each other, and we take care of the materials on the playground. Each day, their teachers document the playground activity by taking short videos and writing observations in a notebook, which they later share with the study group and with the children. This documentation enables the adults and children to assess the results of their experiment by grounding follow-up discussions in a shared reference point. A few tips about documentation. Documentation often includes images as well as text. So, if you usually post only photographs on your walls or electronic platform, try adding quotes from students or your own reflections about learning. Or, if you typically post quotes or other text, add photos of the learners or powerful moments during the learning experience. For celebrations, art exhibitions, or theater or musical performances, give attendees a glimpse of the learning process that was especially exciting or provocative, perhaps an unusual discovery or a difference of opinion that led to a new insight. If you decide you would like to document, we recommend only collecting as much documentation as you have time to revisit. For more information on documentation, see the Making Learning Visible website or the book, Visible Learners, Promoting Reggio-Inspired Approaches in All Schools. Practice the practices. We realize that the 5 playful learning practices and 16 strategies described in this chapter are a lot to take in. We suggest you start by choosing one practice that is of greatest interest and identify 1 or 2 strategies with which to experiment. Try out a tool from the POP toolbox. Practice the practices. And practice the practices with others. In the pictures of practice, none of the practices or strategies were carried out by a teacher acting alone. All were embedded in a supportive school culture where adults were encouraged to experiment with ideas and experiences that support learning through play. You will find an illustration of such a school culture in the next picture of practice, and we focus on ways to create such school-wide cultures in Chapter 5.